there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Last week we talked about how Jesus is God. This week we get to talk about how Jesus is fulfillment. And so we're going to look at three ideas for today, which would suggest that that's true for you to believe in. Jesus fulfills prophecy. Jesus has fulfilled God's intent in his law and commands. And Jesus offers to be fulfillment for you in your life. But like the rest of the greater story of the Bible tells, that's an option that you have and a decision that you get to make, right? Or not. I think I've said that 87,000 times. Or not. Because we get the ability to make decisions all the time. Decisions on decisions on decisions. That's part of the beautiful creation that God has put into displays that you get to be a part of it. With intent and with a personality and with a soul and with a reasoning ability to make decisions of truth and love or the opposite of what God offers us. For today, my suggestion for us would be that Jesus fulfills. Jesus is that which fulfills. Now, it's kind of fun. Our English word for fulfillment has two partial words that can give us a word picture of this idea. What does it mean to be filled? And what does it mean to be filled fully? And that's not the definition of that word, but I sure like it. What does it mean to be filled? What does it mean to be full? One of the most oft-used concepts of the Bible that talks about fullness and wholeness and wellness is the concept of shalom, this principle of peace that God says is attainable and experienced through him. Should we trust and believe what he says is the pathway to get there? And so we're going to put a whole bunch of ideas together before we take our journey for this Christmas and hopefully the rest of your life. Is we get to ask ourselves the question, what is it that makes you full and well and whole? Not just a little bit, but maybe a whole bit, to the brim, overflowing, abundantly and never ceasing. If you were to ask yourself that question, and if you had courage, you could ask those around you, what is it that fills you? What is it that makes you well and whole, that brings you this shalom concept of peace, restorative, something that is what God offers for you? What is going to bring you fulfillment this Christmas? It's a good question to ask. What's your part in that? What do you choose to believe and spend your money on and schedule and avoid and embrace and all the different choices that you have this season? The question for today is, what is it that you believe is going to fulfill you at Christmas and in the rest of your life? That's our question for today. Now, by definition, the word fulfillment, if you were to look in the English dictionary, is the act of doing or achieving something that's been hoped for, something that is expected, something that is desired, promised, or predicted. Desired, promised, expected is this concept. Something that fulfills that, accomplishes that, achieves that. And again, we're going to look at three specific areas that Jesus is. Fulfillment of prophecy. When you hear prophecy, you should connect the word something that has been promised, something that's been predicted. That who the person of Jesus is and what he has done in his life and in his ministry fulfills that which was promised, that was said to occur. When you see the words hoped for, Jesus fulfills that which is hoped for. Does Jesus fulfill that which is hoped for in your life, in your Christmas? So when we think of this season again, what is it that you hope for? What are your expectations? Who has no expectations for Christmas this year? A couple hands. I wonder how you got there. Because it's been so great every time, right? Who has significant expectations? Yeah. How about hope? You have hope for the season? Hope for Christmas? Hope for your brother Larry that maybe this time he'll finally, right? Expectation and hope, that which is promised. What's going to fill that for you this year? And as mentioned, what is it that you have hope and expectation for that's been promised for the entirety of your life? Again, Christmas is just a enlarged, zoomed-in version, I believe, of who you are and what you got, and what you believe. And so maybe those two things get tied together. maybe for this Christmas, even if it's for a short time, we would choose to embrace that Jesus is the only thing that fills fully, that brings wellness and wholeness and purpose and value, that which can be hoped in, that can be expected this Christmas. You could go, I have full expectation and hope in that which is Jesus this year. So let's dive into the text a little bit. We get to ask ourselves those questions. What fulfills your Christmas? Now, before we look into the Bible, let's just be honest, just for at least a portion of the message. Hopefully all of it, but just a portion of it. If you were to think of all the different ways that you were practically going to go, this is the thing, or this is the person, or this is the experience that I have my full hope and trust in to make my Christmas amazing this year, what would that be?
Love.
Cheater. Love, come on, right? That's great. But let's talk about the things that we think fulfills that doesn't. I'll go first, right? Man, if I just get my kids the right gift that they've been hoping for, they'll be fulfilled, which means I'll be fulfilled, right? If we spend the right amount of time in the right ratio over the 73 days that is called Christmas with all the people that I actually care about to make sure that they know that I love them, because if I don't show them that I love them by being there or calling them or getting them this thing or responding to them or giving them money or doing whatever, then how will they know that I actually love and care about them? Now, the only thing that will fulfill me is me accomplishing every single thing that I hope and want to do, which I know I can't. But I'll feel better. Merry Christmas. Just me, right? What is it that you'd be looking at this year? Is it the amount of gifts? Is it the amount of stuff, right? Is it this hope that you have that you're going to finally fix it this year? Wait, fix them this year? Wait, fix yourself this year? That's what's going to bring a full, abundant, hopeful, joy-filled season, is that you're finally going to work hard enough to get it right? Did I go too far? I hope you're willing to ask yourselves this and these questions, not only to yourself, but in the presence of other people that want to walk with you and know you. That you would look at your life, and even in Christmas season, and go, what do I really think is going to bring me wholeness and wellness this season? And we can all say Jesus, we can all talk about it. But man, if you don't put your story in lives and the story of other people and really work it out, I would caution that we would miss it. Now, there's all sorts of things, right? The one last thing that I would like to share that could possibly be your solution to this season is something that I personally struggle with, is that I sometimes feel like what's going to fulfill me and make me feel better in this Christmas season, it's not gifts and not love and not family and not giving and generosity. Those are all really good things. But it's the fact that I'm just going to be the Grinch. How could you get there, you ask? I'll answer that question. For all the reasons we just talked about, and all the life that I've lived like you've lived, to go, man, you know how many times Christmas has gone completely sideways when I really didn't want it to? The things I said and the things I did, and oh, this is an appropriate amount of gifts to get. Wait, I got 10 times more than I wanted to, and all the sorts of things. And so my decision would be, you know what? Instead of being like Santa or Jesus at Christmas, I'm going to be the Grinch. Which just means that my whole goal this season is to ruin it for everybody else. Think about the ways in which you've done that. Oh, this party that I really don't want to go to, I'll go, and I know how I'll be. Right? Just a joy to be around, lovingly participatory, right? You'd be the Grinch. That's an option. Some of us think, put it together. Let's put them both together. Not only at Christmas, but our entire lives, that what's going to bring us wellness and wholeness is to ruin it for everybody else. Right? Because it's been ruined for me. Whether I ruined it myself or somebody else ruined it for me, I don't have hope. I don't have a solution. I don't have a way out. I don't know that which brings me purpose and value. I don't have love, and so I don't have it, or I'm not feeling it right now, so neither should you. Merry Christmas. Right? Now, I'm playing a little bit, but I'm not. Because if we don't put real practical application to the things we say and believe, then is it really real and applicable at all? So as we look through for today, just a few minor, very quick things with the depth of what the Bible teaches, would you ask yourself, what is it that you fully believe is going to bring you fulfillment this Christmas? And here's the truth. There is no formula. There is no perfect schedule. There is no correct amount of gifts. There is no perfect amount of generosity or long-suffering or perseverance. There's no right reason or wrong. It's who are you going to be in whatever environment you have. Is it good to be generous and give gifts at Christmas? Yeah, of course. But why are you doing it? Is it good to spend time with family? Yes. Is it good to share and break bread together? Very biblical. Is it true to be sacrificial? Is it true to engage with people in your workplace with a Christmas party and neighbors and sing carols? Yes, 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 and yes. And every single one of those things can be abundantly life-giving in the name of Jesus, or they can be horrendously devastating in the name of Grinch. You get to decide. So what brings life, wellness, and shalom and fullness to this season and all seasons? I would say Jesus is. But let's look into the text a little bit. Three just simple points for today. We're going to start off with one even you saw even in the slide and in the bumper is that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. Prophecy is that which is spoken into existence on God's behalf that is true always. Meaning anytime we see prophecy within the text, there's a real applicable, tangible, right now immediate truth in which it's being shared in the context. And then in only the way that the creator of the universe can do it, it's also true always. Meaning in the future, meaning eternally, that which God says is true is. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of the truth that is shared by God. Through people, through prophets, through his word, Jesus is the fulfillment of significant prophecy. So just a few things in your notes for today. We'll start off with Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. We mentioned this a little bit last week, speaking of the deity of Jesus. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. He spoke to them then with truth. And it says, and at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, in the context then of the New Testament, he's spoken to us by his son, whom he's appointed heir of all things and through whom he has made the universe. And so scholarship would say, biblical scholars of the history have determined that Jesus has fulfilled at least 48 major, not sure what constitutes major, but major prophecies of the Old Testament and of history. 3 centuries were these prophecies committed and written prior to the birth of Jesus. And just a few notable ones when we think of the life and the story of Jesus is that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Prophet Micah shares that. And he also shares specific times then. We're not going to dive into the details, but in the time and the place of Micah the prophet, there was a light that was coming out of the lowly Bethlehem. Then at the time, and then our Christmas story that we love and celebrate, right? That Jesus, baby born in the manger, was born where? Bethlehem. And so many major prophecies, he would be the seed or the offspring, he would be of Abraham as a prophecy that Jesus fulfilled, that he's from the tribe of Judah, that he, like many others before him, would flee to Egypt from persecution or opportunity, that he would be betrayed by a friend, which we know would be Judas, that he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver, given his life as a ransom, crucified next to and aside criminals, and that he eventually would be buried with the rich, and so on and so on and so on. That many prophets of the past said these would be the things that would be taking place, that would be true, that would be fulfilled in the life and ministry and person of Jesus. If you were to expand prophecies from the Bible, you would say that at least 300 up to 500 to 600 prophecies are fulfilled by the life in ministry, in words and ways of Jesus. That's crazy in one person. And here's the takeaway from some of those things. Even if we look into the truth there, it would be that Jesus is a fulfillment of what God says is and is going to be. And what we can take away from that one simple point is that God has always been telling a story full of truth and promise and hope. That God always is working in and through the lives of his creation and people. That he's always there with us, that he doesn't say that it's always going to go perfect, but that he is the one that is perfect, working out all things for those that choose to believe and abide in him. That God is telling a story, that God has a plan, that he makes promises, that he has purpose for every portion of creation, including you. And that a part of that story, at the perfect amount of time, Jesus was born in a manger, would go on to be the final finished sacrifice for those of us that choose to believe that it's true. And so the personal takeaway, whether it's in the entirety of your life or even at this Christmas season, is would you believe that through the example of Jesus that God is still telling a story through your life? That the promises he's made still ring true today? That the abundant life that he offers can be yours to be had should you choose to embrace the fact that Jesus is a part of God's plan still, seated at the right hand of the Father, presently active through the Spirit of God in your life? Would you choose to see as Jesus fulfills prophecy, the truth that is being declared, that that's true for you as well? The Isaiah prophecy, one of many, but specifically the Christmas one, most notable, is in Isaiah chapter 9, 6, and 7. That's when we celebrate all the time at Christmas, and we love this one. But let's look at it specifically this year and say, what is it that I believe about this practically for me today? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It says that the greatness of his government and peace will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now again, Isaiah is speaking that truth and reality to the people at the time that he lived in. But now we look upon this prophecy and say, Jesus is also the fulfillment of what he says is true about God's plan. So if we're talking about fulfillment at Christmas, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing and what's my plans and who am I spending it with and what am I spending it on and how am I going to be this year? If you look at the prophecy of Isaiah, do you believe that your Christmas is put together through the counsel of the God of the universe, God Almighty, the Everlasting Father? As your decisions and plans, are they bathed with wonderful counsel? Are they helpful? Are they good? Are they busy? Are they revengeful? Are they obstinate and opposing of invitation? What are they? Is Jesus as that motivating your Christmas this year? If Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy, we can see that he fulfills the promises, purposes, and the plans of God. And he fulfills the prophecies of God. Jesus, the second point today, also fulfills that which God calls the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament commandment and wise truth that God offers all creation in the Old Testament, meaning we get to learn who God is and who we are. The law given was for our good. Jesus did not come to object to that. He didn't come to abolish that. He came to fulfill it. The text tells us, Matthew 5, 17, Jesus himself says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Even speaking of the prophets, Jesus says, "I do not come to go against the prophets. I do not come to deny or reject the prophets. I come to fulfill them, to bring them to fruition, wholeness, wellness, potentially deeper meaning, greater experienced truth do we see through the life and ministry of Jesus." And Jesus said the law in which was given to help you see what is true about God and yourself, I've not come to reject or abolish it, but to fulfill it. Paul tells us in Romans a couple different instances, starting chapter 3, verse 20. He says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." See, the law of God is given to us, again, for our good. But if you strive and pine and work and toil for the wrong motivation, the law does not bring us righteousness or wellness, but instead reveals to us that which we lack or the areas in which we miss. And so we get to understand who we are and what we care about and this passion and the voids that we have in our life by seeing what God has told us in the law, but the law itself does not save. Paul goes on and he says, we become conscious of our sin, but verse 21, "But now apart from the law of righteousness, God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all believe. Furthermore, in chapter 10, starting verse 2, it says, "For I can testify about them that they're zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God, and they sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Christ is the culmination, the fulfillment of the law, so that that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So point two is that Jesus fulfills the law. One thing that sticks out to me when I look at Romans chapter 10 in verse 3, it says that they were zealous for God. They had zeal for the Lord. They wanted to know who God was and who they were. They had desire to do that which is right, to experience what we later see as an abundant life offered. They wanted that, but didn't have it. They missed it. If you continue on, it says they sought to establish their own form of righteousness. We're just going to sit in that statement for a second. At Christmas, even though we may desire to know God's will for our Christmas season, I know that I can still miss it. And sometimes by the temptation, whether it's of my own fear or the pleasing of other people, I will instead choose to create my own righteousness in the place of God's. Maybe in Christmas, that's what's being enticed or offered to you, is that instead of choosing that which God said would be well and best for you and those in your Christmas, that you're going to create your own version of what's good and right. That you're going to make other people well and whole by what you're going to choose to do aside from what God says is good. And again, I don't know what your story and what your situation is. Maybe it's an unreasonable amount of gifts. Maybe it's an unreasonable amount of expectation. Maybe it's an unreasonable amount of grinchiness. But would you be a person that would ask yourself honestly this year, are your plans to execute Christmas your own plan of righteousness? Even though you would hope that it would be for the Lord's sake, that you've kind of taken control of the wheel or the calendar or the checkbook or the relationship, whether you're boxing people out that you should let in or you're choosing to not invite people in that you know need it. Would your effort be in vain this Christmas to try to create your own wellness aside from what God says would be good? Now, Jesus has fulfilled the law for us, that our faith and belief in him would be our offer of righteousness instead. That we would choose to not succumb to the fear or the failure or the rejection or the work that doesn't lead to wellness, that just leads to further toil, that a faith and belief in Jesus would bring us the righteousness that God had always offered. What does that practically look like for you this Christmas? Is it having a conversation you don't want to have because Jesus had conversations that he didn't want to have? Would it be sacrificing a bit of your time or your talent or your money for a person that needs to see Jesus in you? The reason for your season would be what you would share with people. Maybe it's just kind of holding on yet again, yes, again, yes, again. You need to hold on with that cousin, relative, mom, dad, brother, sister in this season because you're the only version of hope that they may see with your long suffering and your patience, your grace extended to them that they don't see. She's laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, man, that might be the best gift you ever got and gave at the same time. But what's the motivation? What's the reason for your season? Is it because we get to choose to be a people that trust the words and the actions of our Lord, that when we do that, we are light in the darkness? When we do that, we get to be the portion of God saying, I will be present with you in Christmas by the way you choose to act or not in the presence of your family, friends, and community. That maybe the best gift that anybody's gonna get is the fact that you don't just light them up again because they talk too much or they don't pay attention or they didn't wear the sweater you wanted them to or they didn't sit nicely, didn't put their wrapping paper in the bag like you wanted them to or whatever, whatever, whatever. That maybe none of that's gonna fulfill you anyway and you already know it. What would it look like to be a people that would say, I want to choose in my practical everyday walk at Christmas and in the middle of the summer to be a person that believes that Jesus is the only thing that brings fulfillment in my life. Which happens to be the third point of our short talk today. Is that I believe Jesus offers that. He offers life fulfillment. Yes, he does it by fulfilling prophecy. Yes, he does it by fulfilling the law. But he does it by offering abundant, overflowing life to those who would say yes to it. Just a few verses for today. Look at John 10, starting in verse 7. Jesus is speaking to people like us. He says, therefore, Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, meaning those claiming to be God, but the sheep have not listened to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know, we can say those words and we can repeat them and hear them. And I think oftentimes what actually echoes in my heart is that Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and you can have it just barely enough so that you can hang on. Just barely enough because you don't deserve more than that. Remember all the things you did? Okay, just don't forget that. That I have come to give life, but you have to figure it out first. You have to try harder and be better. Jesus says, I have come to offer life that is beyond anything that you can comprehend. More full, more well, more whole, more than you can ever hope and imagine. A wellspring of life that never ends is offered through the person and the message and the process of Jesus the Christ. Jesus offers that to you. He offers that to creation that would choose to believe that. And Jesus makes claims, like talked about last week, and we'll continue to talk about hopefully for the rest of our lives, is that he claims to be the great I am. He's the sheep, or he's the shepherd, and he's the gate, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he only brings fullness and abundance. Psalm 62, 5 and 8 is just a very simple yet powerful statement, as the Psalms and Proverbs are, of potent truth shared by people like you and I that have feelings and emotions and stories and successes and failures, that have the ability to embrace joy and destruction all at the same time. And yet in the midst of it, not in the absence of life, the psalmist makes a statement that potentially could be something we could hope for this Christmas as Jesus fills and fulfills. It's a very simple statement that might encourage you this morning. Psalmist in verse 5 says, yes, my soul finds rest in God. Just stop right there for a second. Man, what an amazing Christmas it would be if that was the definition of your Christmas. How was your Christmas? It was amazing. My soul found rest in God. What if that was your plans? What if that was the gifts you offered? What was that you would hope for? Is you'd be able to say, man, my soul finds rest in God. The reason for my Christmas season is to celebrate that, is to have joy in that, to have peace in that, to give wonderful counsel in that, that the thing in which I offer and the thing in which I receive is the fact that we can choose to walk in the light that says my soul can find rest in God. I wonder how many people would want that for Christmas. I wonder how many people would give everything they have to actually hear that that's an option, is that I can have soul rest provided by the truth in the people of God. He goes on to say that my hope comes from him. Our hope comes in the Lord. Truly, he's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. What an amazing repetitive truth that maybe your Christmas could be filled with. My hope is in God. My peace is in God. My rest is in God. My refuge is in God. My firm foundation is in God. My praise goes to God. My joy comes from God. And here's what I do with it. I love because my God. I long suffer because my God. I'm in relationship because my God. I forgive because my God. I say I'm sorry because my God. I find life because of my God. I have fullness and wellness and restored soul life because of my God. That's what Christmas is about in my life. Man, come on. Who wants that? This guy. But don't miss out the discount at Best Buy this afternoon. I don't want you to miss that. I mean, because the Christmas would be ruined without it, right? And don't burn the cookies. Lighten up a little bit. I'm just trying to be honest because I get there, right? I got two kids. They're perfect and so am I, so I have to make things up about my Christmas. We're going to end with John 6 today. John 6, 10 verses of John 6, kind of pull a couple pieces together. Where do you find hope? Where do you find fulfillment in Christmas in your life? What's the reality of this invitation? We have a choice. How do we see what hopefully God invites us to see? John chapter 6, talking about fulfillment. Jesus again is speaking. He answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill." Maybe today you're looking for Jesus. I know that you know many that are also looking for Jesus. We may be looking for him. He says, but you're not looking for me because of the things of God, the miraculous truth that I have and that I offer. You're actually looking for me for the wrong reason. You're missing it. The reason why you're following me is like those, they had a few things to eat. They were temporarily satisfied. They mistaken the things of provision from the creator himself. And Jesus says, you are looking for me, but you're missing it. You're missing the fulfilled life I can give you. You're missing the truth in which I offer. You're missing that which actually brings hope and wholeness. You're missing it. But you think that you're coming after me for the right reason because you had a little taste of some things. He says, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, for the Son of Man will give you. Don't surrender your life pining and striving and working for that which will not fulfill. Don't miss it. But instead, with every very that you have, all of your strength and might, heart and soul, would you go after that which only brings life from the Son of Man who provides it? And he uses beautiful language like the bread of life, that which is sustenance that you can taste and choose, that is going to actually give you strength and energy to keep you going. He says, don't chase after the wrong things. Don't chase after the wrong things this Christmas. Don't chase after the wrong things this new year. Don't chase and work and strive and earn that which will never fulfill. And he goes on. And he says, for on him, God the Father placed a seal of approval. And they asked him, what must we do to do the works of God that he requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Let me get an amen if it's work to believe. Amen. Come on. We got one person. Yeah. It's hard to believe, huh? Wise man in the text one time said, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. The effort that you will give to trust and have faith in the story of God, to believe in his purposes, that he can actually restore and bring wellness to your situation will cause you work. But man, what a work. And what a walk it is if we choose to do that together rather than chase the things of this world, which will never satisfy. Jesus says, you'll find me when you fight to believe. Not by yourself, but with those in the world that he's given you. Strive together. Learn to love, to believe in faith together. That's the work that God invites us into. He says, so they asked him, what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. It is written, you gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who had given the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and it gives life to this world. And sir, they said, always give us this bread. Man, why don't you make one Christmas list this year and just write that. God, always give me that which is you. God, always give us that which brings life. God, always from the Father would we be asking and pining and working and striving for that which, God, you say is life. Always give us this. That's what we want all the time. What fulfills you? What does Jesus say? Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. The offer is on the table, so to say. He knocks, he waits, he offers, he's there, he's present. As we will continue to celebrate in Christmas, he's with you. He's in your midst in the part of the kingdom. His image is in the humans in your life. And Jesus says, I am that which fulfills forever. Always have been, always will be. I'm right there. Would you choose to say yes? What's going to fill you this Christmas? I hope that Jesus is. And we'll end with this. The last verse of this John passage, not the last verse of this passage. So good. Jesus says, but as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not, what? Believe. Do you have eyes to see who Jesus is? Is it possible that you're seeing but you're not seeing? Is it possible that Jesus has been in your midst and offered and shared through the people of your life, through the Word of God, through the church, whatever it may be, and you still are struggling to believe? Maybe the best gift for you this year is to believe. Not in the corny Christmas way, not in the titles of the movies, not in Hallmark, but from the best book there is, that maybe the best gift you'd say yes to is belief. Maybe the most fulfilling thing in your Christmas would be that you would share your story and testimony with somebody else who can believe. Somebody else that maybe has caught a glimpse. Somebody else that needs to know that which fulfills. That Christmas time would be the story about Jesus the Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, born in the manger, that you in your life would share and tell the story of the only one, the only way that brings life and fulfills. And that you would party like nobody else at Christmas because God created partying as well. True? Just for some of you that are like,
I don't feel good about how he ended that message.
You can still party. Do it for Jesus. Celebrate. Bring life and hope and joy. Okay, and I'll end fully the message with this. There's no formula, guys. There's no formula. You got to look in front of you and see who's in your life and who's not. All the good, all the bad, all the hard, all the gains, all the losses, all the situations, and go, Father, you have promised that you can bring life to this situation. Would you help? Look into the text. Pray before the Lord. Ask people in your life, what should I do? How do I do this? Pray for me. How do I lead my kids? How do I deal with my dad? What do I do? God has provided you abundance of life and fulfillment through his word and through his spirit and through his people, the church. It is there for the taking. May we be it and show the world what light in the darkness is. Amen? Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.